And I encourage you to pray for Pastor David, for Nella, and to respect their position in the church. And it's exciting to see what happens in 14 years. You know, you may be sitting here. You're just a member of the church. Where will you be in 10 years? Maybe God has you move into a position of great responsibility. We believe that positions in the church should be by gift and calling. As people, gifts people, and there's a call on their life that they walk in it. And there's a place for every one of us. And as we mentioned, I think, a week or so ago, a man's gift makes room for him. A woman's gift makes room for her. And as you contribute your gift to the body of Christ, it will bring you to the position that God wants you to be. All right, we're going to move to our message this morning. I hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet as you came in. And we'll see how far we get in this message. We won't finish it, but we'll get started in this message. And so follow along with us as we go this morning. The verse is Matthew 5:25, and it simply says this, the first part of the verse, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Now that's sort of a strange verse, because you wouldn't think that the Bible would tell us to agree with our adversary quickly. It might be encouraged to stand strong against your adversary is sort of the natural thinking we would have. Be sure not to weaken as you are against an adversary. But this portion of Scripture says, agree with your adversary quickly. And the practical side of this is, let's read the rest of the verse and then we'll get to this. Why should you do that? Well, it says, the last part of the verse says this, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. And the next verse goes on to say, and you will not get out until you've paid that off. And so this tells us there is a process that if you don't agree with your adversary, it moves to a process. Now, just on a natural, practical level, I think there's some truth in this, because we have to be aware of how blunt an instrument the law can be. You know, you have a contention, you got some kind of conflict and some, you know, an adversarial position. And rather than agreeing, you go to court. Well, when you go to court, there's a lot of court costs. And the court costs are not always monetary. There's other things that come into it. And you might think I'm perfectly right and just. But you know, it goes before a judge, and that objective judge might come to a different view than what you have of the situation. And things can be decreed that actually goes beyond even what's necessary. I've seen couples that's had some conflict, and then there's a restraining order that they cannot see each other for 3 months. And I've dealt with couples, and they've reconciled, and they want to get together, but no, that court order stays there, and they can't get together because of the court order. And so we don't know what we release when we go to the judge. And it goes to the officer. And then it goes to the decree of what's going to be. And so this scripture, just on a very practical level, is, you know what? You should consider agreeing with your adversary before it gets to that point. Because you don't know what will come of that. And you might be on the receiving end of what you thought you were going to be on the giving end through the court. So that's the natural side of this, and just there in Scripture. But why would that be so? You know, when the Word of God speaks things, it has different levels. There's sort of a natural, practical level, but then it digs deeper. And so it is with this portion of Scripture. Matthew 5 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This portion of scripture rereading here are right in all the powerful truths that's in the Sermon on the Mount, giving scriptural principles for the kingdom of God. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount is like the Magna Charter of the church. And you need to know what it says because it will give you principles that are very powerful. But they have degrees. Like in this portion of scripture, in this same chapter, he talks about someone hits you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. And someone forces you to go a mile, then go 2 miles. And so you could take it on a natural level. Okay, if someone ever hits me on the cheek, I've got to turn the other cheek. But we understand that not a whole lot of people, even in the first century, was going around smacking people in the face. What that portion of scripture is telling, when someone offends you, when someone hurts you, when someone gives you a slap, maybe not physically, but emotionally, don't close yourself off to that person. Remain open. So we understand the levels, and the same with this portion of scripture. We know the practical level we've already talked to, but what's the deeper level of this portion of scripture that would be a scriptural, foundational truth for the kingdom of God? And so let's look at this a little deeper as we go into this. And here's your first point on your notes, we are to agree with our adversary quickly. You are to agree with someone that's standing in opposition to you and to do it quickly. I think I put in your notes the definition of an adversary. An adversary is someone who stands in opposition to you with an opposing view. So an adversary isn't someone necessarily that's out there like two nations fighting one another. It's whenever you come against someone and they have an opposite viewpoint than you have. And because they have that opposite viewpoint, you feel like they're standing in your way. They're standing in the way of your progress to reach your goals, to accomplish what you feel is right and what should be accomplished in the best state of affairs. There's someone standing in your way and they are opposing you. And so we would normally think, as I said earlier, well, stand your ground, stand up for your rights, be sure to your position. But that's not what the scripture says. It says to agree. And here's your next point. Varying opinions are to be expressed, but without contention, without the conflict, without the clash. We all have different opinions. We see things differently. And we all have a different function. We all have a little different way of viewing things. And so it's God's way. And we'll get to this later. But that's how God's designed things. An adversarial, in a sense, positioning. And so, but we are to be able to express those, have differing opinions, but come to a point of agreement without contentions. Now, how bad are contentions? Well, let's look at Galatians 5 and verse 19. I pared this verse down. It starts off by saying, now the works of the flesh are evidence, which are, and it gives a list of about 8, 9, 10, I didn't count them, different things that are the works of the flesh. Fornication, adultery, cheating. There's a whole list of things in that portion of scripture. But in the midst of the scripture, there's two words here. And I just sort of pared it down so you could see what it's saying in relation to these two words. Listen to what it says here. Now the works of the flesh are evidence, which are contentions, dissensions. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, two words here. Contentions, dissensions. What does it mean? Well, I just went to the dictionary. To be contentious is causing an argument by contending for an opinion. Causing an argument by contending for an opinion. Contentions are not good. They're the works of the flesh. You will not inherit God's kingdom. You will not inherit what God has for you. You will not enter into all that God wants you to have if there's contentions. No one that I know of to this point, maybe I'll be proven wrong in the future, no one's ever come to me and said, you know, I'm contentious. We don't think we're contentious because we know the Bible verses. You know, it'd be better to be in a corner of a closet than to dwell with a contentious woman in a wide house. And there's different verses. Now, let me say quickly, men can be as contentious as women. But we know we're not to be contentious, and there's lots of verses along that line. Listen to these verses. I put them in your notes. For the men, Proverbs 26:21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. A contentious man. But we don't think we're contentious. Well, what does it mean to be contentious? It's to strive for your opinion. So if you don't think you're contentious and would never own up to that, let me ask you this question. Have you ever argued for your position and your opinion? In the moment that you did that, you were contentious. And you trigger all these things that is mentioned here. Now, we're going to see in a moment, well, how do we handle this? Rather than be contentious. Now, folks, this is a shift in a viewpoint. We all, as a default position and attitude, we are prone to argue for our position when we come up against someone that has a different position. I mean, you don't have to think about it. I mean, it's not you're starting the conversation and then you think in the moment, you know what? I'm going to be contentious right now. No, we don't think that way. We just think, no, I'm saying what's right. They need to hear what's right. And they're just not hearing my opinion. So I will argue for my position. But notice when you have that adversarial role, the biblical principle from the Sermon on the Mount is agree with the person that is contending for an opposite position. Oh, that blows my mind. What do you mean? We are so used to being contentious that we think, you know what? It's not really a pleasant thing, but it's necessary. It's not something we look forward to, but you know, when I have to, I will stand up. I'm not going to be a pushover. And we think it's just a necessary part of our Christian life. And we are missing this scripture. We're missing a valid scriptural principle that says if you'll do this, you're going to get God's blessing. If you're contentious, you're just moving in your flesh. Because, folks, we all do it. We just move there without even thinking. We just move because it's our natural inclination. It's a work of the flesh. And if you follow that through, you will not receive the kingdom of God. You will not find your place. You will not find what God has for you. And so I'm praying for a shift in attitude, a shift in mind, that when you get into that kind of situation, rather than proceeding, you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to go there. Because it's not good. So it says for the men, you're just putting fuel on the fire. When you're contentious, you're starting a fire. And you're just adding to it. The more contentious you are, you're escalating and escalating. Oh, and don't we know this, all of us that are married? Oh, don't we know this? And those that might be, you know, you're involved with someone at work or someone at school or a family member somewhere. And you know, it starts small, but you know, because of the contention, more fuel's put on the fire, and then you respond, and they respond, and now you got this huge fire that's in your life. The Bible says, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Stop the contention before you get to the quarrel, because you're initiating something that is not good. So I just say, God, open our eyes to this. Help me to see this. Help me to be aware of this. That this portion says, and it's contrary, agree with my adversary. Yeah, that's what the scripture is saying. Here's the verse for the ladies, Proverbs 27:15. A continual dripping on a very rainy day is a contentious woman, and a contentious woman are alike. So just as the water drips and drips and drips, and so, and men, I'm not just focusing on ladies, this is for men too, but just a little drip, a little drip, a little nag here, a little drip there, just mention it, just there. He says, you know, that's what's happening. He said, it's the same thing. You're being contentious. You're not agreeing. You're constantly just letting just a little fuel here, just a little. I'm not a lot of fuel. I'll just put a little log on the fire. I just put another little log on the fire. And it just builds and builds and builds. That's contention. The other word in this portion of scripture was dissension. It's very similar. It says arguments over disagreements in an organization or a group. That's a dissension. It's not just personal now. Now it becomes to be larger. It's in a group. It's in an organization. There's a dissension. Groups of people rallying around an opinion, and they're vying with another group of people, vying around another opposite viewpoint. And it's dissension. And the Bible says dissensions are a work of the flesh. You will not inherit what God has for you when you follow dissensions. And so dissensions can come to a workplace, to a school, to a neighborhood, can come to the church. Dissensions. We got to guard against it. We need to realize this is not good. We've got to stop this. We've got to realize there's a different way to respond when there's adversarial positions. So we're not to fight one another. But how often do we do? We fight the other person who's expressing the opposite position. And as a result of it, we violate what God is saying here. Now, I put this in, you know, we are to fight one thing. There's one thing we are to fight. The devil's lies that undermine our faith. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:12, we are to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. So there are some things you are to stand and you are to fight. It's Satan's lies, his influence, philosophies, things that are of this world that undermine your faith in God and your belief in what his word says. You need to fight those things. You need to fight that off. You need to take a stand. You are to fight those things. But it's principalities and powers, not necessarily people. You're to fight those things and Satan's lies that could be espoused by people, but you're not to fight the people. Now listen to what it says in the next verse here in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Our fight is not with people. It's against the leaders and the powers and the spirit of darkness in this world. There is a counter. We have an adversary, the devil. You are to fight the devil. You are to fight his lies, fight his philosophies. But the scripture says we're not fighting people. The people that's espousing those things are deceived. They're snared by it. We're not to attack the people. We're to keep our eye on the principle that we are attacking here. So if you just fight people and you get into these conflicts with people and it becomes very personal now. Now when there something is said, now I'm wounded by what they say, and so I'm going back at the people. Listen to what it says in James 3:15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, on spiritual, and devilish. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So once you get into a conflict with people, there is strife, there's arguing, there's contentions. It says once you move to that area, he said, how's the verse say it? There is confusion and every evil work. If you want to open the door to Satan's working in your life, open yourself to every evil influence Satan can bring upon you, then get yourself into strife. Because strife opens the door for confusion and every evil thing. Strife is not a good thing, folks. You are not to strive against people. You're not to fight against people. Otherwise, once you get into the conflict with another person, you've opened yourself to Satan's working in your life. You do not want that. You want to close the door to Satan's temptations and the way he would work in your life. Just understand, and I hope God will open your eyes, every time you get into a conflict with someone else and you're fighting some other person, you have a contention over an issue, over an opinion, realize you've opened yourself to the devil's attack. It goes on to say, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So when it says agree with your adversary quickly, that is you are coming to an agreement and you're making peace. You are not fighting. You are accommodating the other person and you're coming into an agreement with the other person. You make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. If you enter into strife, you've opened yourself to the Satan's kingdom. If you make peace, now blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Then you come into what God has for you. I tell you, these are powerful truths that I don't think we bring to mind enough. Like I said earlier, we just get the feeling, well, you know what? This is just part of life. And, you know, I don't like to have to do it. But as I remember one fellow saying to me, I don't like to fight. But when I have to, I enjoy it. And I laughed. He didn't want to, doesn't like to fight. But when he has to, he enjoys it. And I think that's sort of human nature. We know we shouldn't fight. But, you know, I'm up to it. If they want to go toe-to-toe, I'm ready. And we're just quick to give our opinion, quick to contend, fight. And then we get personal to fight the individual. Now, it says, agree with your adversary quickly. Why quickly? It says, and we talked about it, Matthew 5:25, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Now, we saw how that works on the natural, practical level. But I want you to see how this works on a more spiritual level. Why are you to agree with someone who has an opposite opinion than you and to do it quickly? Because if you don't, you start a progression. Something you've set in course now. And it basically goes this way. You have a difference of opinion. Now, there's a clash. Verbal clash. Actions. The two opposite opinions are clashing. It's strength against strength. You're beating against each other. There's a clash. As a result, there's sparks. And injury comes from clashes. When you're in a fight, someone comes out with a black eye, bloodied mouth, bloodied nose. There's consequences that come with clashes. Now it compounds. Not only do we have a different opinion, but now you've hurt me. Because of our clash, you've damaged me. And I don't look good now in this situation. And it escalates the problem. So then we begin to dislike the person. It's no longer just the opinion. We dislike the person. And we begin to identify the opinion with the person. So we begin to dislike them. Now I begin to distrust them. I don't like anything they say now because I disagree with this. They may say something here that I sort of agree with, but I don't want to really accept that because I just distrust this person. And then it moves from distrust to sort of a settled bitterness and moves to division. You separate. No longer, you sort of like there's this truce, but it's really not a truce. You just sort of called a no-fire zone, you know, but in the world it doesn't work between nations because we're always firing across that zone. But we divide, and then we move to hatred. That's the final result of this progression. Now, isn't it, we begin to hate our adversary. Now, that should trigger something in us. Because Jesus said in that same chapter I'm talking about here, he said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. So you see how the Lord is talking to us here? Love your enemies? No. How do I love my enemies? But this is what we're saying in this portion of Scripture. Don't let the progression. So agree quickly, as soon as you can. Don't let it escalate. Agree quickly. If you don't, it's going to go to the judge. Now, who's the judge? We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is something for you to really think about. The disagreement you have, the understanding you have, are you really willing to put this before Jesus to do the final resolution? Are you so sure that you see it perfectly? That you got, and this other person is completely wrong? Or if it went to the judge, would Jesus really discern what is the issue here? I tell you, I think everything I believe is right. I believe all my opinions are right. Because if I didn't think they're right, I'd change them. But I got to be wise enough to know just because I think they're right, doesn't mean they're right. And if I saw things from a different perspective, which the other person usually is seeing it from, if I saw it from the other perspective, then maybe I wouldn't be so sure. Now this judge, Jesus, who's looking at your conflict, the division you've made with this other person, the clashes, the words that have been said, the arguments that have come up. The Lord is looking at this. Are you really willing to give it into the Lord's hands? When it goes to the judge, I think we're going to be surprised how little we believe and we thought was right was actually right. And it would be discerned perfectly with Christ as the judge. But here's the thing. If you let a division and a quarrel continue and it goes to the judge, Jesus will turn it to the officer. The officer is the enforcer. He's the one, like the bailiff, that goes out and serves what's been said. It is a disciplinary force in our life. And I tell you, when you get into a place of conflict, you're opening yourself, because God loves us and he's going to chastise his children, and he chastises those who he loves. You're opening yourself for a dealing in your life by the officer that you'd be far better off if you didn't go down that road. So sure of myself, I'm so sure I'm right. And just say, okay, maybe I should agree. I need to come to an agreement with my adversary and not be so sure, because once you go to the judge and it goes to the disciplinary, it takes you into a prison. I've seen so many people that have conflict, they are imprisoned by the conflict. Their thoughts are imprisoned. All they can think about is that person that's wronged them. All their feelings and moods come out of, oh, that shouldn't have happened. There's a bitterness. They can't even enjoy food. Everything that comes up reminds them of the situation. They are in prison. They can't be what God wants them to be. They can't think the thoughts God wants them to have. They can't experience the emotions that God wants them to have. They're imprisoned by the conflict. That's a terrible place to be. And you're not going to get out of there until that's resolved. I've seen people go for years and not talk to people. And there's been a rift. There's a division. They don't understand. I brought this on myself. You know who they're blaming? The other person. If only they hadn't have done that. They've caused me all this trouble. And they deepen the situation. They have more resentment, more distrust, more conflict, more bitterness. Hatred grows. They don't word it that way, but that's really what's happening. They're not inheriting what God has for them. They're inheriting the result of the conflict that they have persisted to contend for, and they have not come into agreement. Folks, what I'm telling you now is deep spiritual stuff. This is meat. This is not milk. It says, you know, as new Christians, we just have to have milk. Oh, you know, what tastes good? You know, they're going to help me. God's going to do it. You know, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. We're getting to where we live and our views and our opinions and how we conduct ourselves around other people. And we can, if we're not careful, we'll follow the works of the flesh. We'll go to contentions, dissensions, and we do not enjoy the freedom that God wants us to have. Wow. You know, the Bible says the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. So this speaks to what I just said. You think you're right. In fact, you can tell someone else and they will agree with you. Oh, yeah, they should never have done that. They should never have said that. Oh, that, yeah, that's terrible. You have every right to be where you are. And then someone else comes, gives the other side of the story. It seemed right at the beginning, but now when you hear the other side, you realize there's more to it. Proverbs 18:17, you may think you've won your case in court until your opponent speaks. And so all these are the verses that support what I'm saying to you. Don't be so, as the Bible says, wise in your own opinion. Proverbs says there's a certain kind of man that's so wise in his opinion, seven people can come and give him a contrary reason, but he'll dismiss it. He's wiser in his own opinion than seven that comes and gives a reason. So we got to be careful. Let's break out of that mindset and say, you know, there's a bigger picture than what I see. I'm seeing this. This person's seeing this. This other person over here is seeing this. I think they're adversaries, but they're not adversaries if we can come to agreement. Now, if they're espousing Satan's lie, yes, stand against that lie. Don't be influenced by it. But if they're just sharing another aspect and you know they're a Christian, they love God, they see it differently, then rather than just dismissing it or arguing, come to a point of agreement with them Well, the cost, I put this in your notes, the cost of contention is greater than the cost of peace. There is a cost to peace. You have to give something up. You have to yield something. That's why it said wisdom that's from above is peaceful, willing to yield. You got to yield. You got to give in sometimes to things. You got to discern. You know what? This is just my own thought. My pride's involved here. This is mixed with some pride on my part. And so you have to yield. You have to give. You got to allow this to be exposed to a greater light. And so be willing to pay the cost. I tell you, that is far less than the cost of contention. I've talked about the cost of contention. There's a tremendous cost to contention. There's a cost to peace and making peace. But that cost is so much less than the cost of contention. Here's the verse in Romans 12, 17 and 18. We pay no one evil for evil. That's just the human contentious view. They did wrong to me. I'll do wrong back. I respond in kind. No, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, here's the key sentence. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Okay, you're in this situation. You're in this conflict. Some kind of contention. Let me ask you the question. Is there anything you could do that could bring peace? Well, yeah, but I would have to. There's a cost to it. That cost is so much less than the cost of contention. Man, after 49 years here, lots of illustrations come to my mind. And thankfully, all these are years ago and you know nothing about it. I remember one couple arguing over the allowance, money that one spouse could spend without talking to the other. And it was so much, and this person was so strong that, no, the money's together, and they have no discretion. And it was like a small amount of money. I forget what it was. This is years ago. It seems it's more now than it was then, but I didn't remember. I think it was $50. And I remember saying to this person, $50 is a small amount of money to have peace. Do you want the contention for $50? Well, there's no right. See, opinion. As much as depends on you, live at peace with all men. I remember another couple going through, one was a Christian, one was not. They were going through a divorce. And this person, one person in the split, they were contending over $20,000. $20,000. And the person that I was talking to was a Christian. And he was telling me, you know, it's wrong. She has no right to this. This is this and this and this. And he said, I don't want to do that. And it was going to go to court. And I said to him, if you gave the $20,000, would there be peace? He said, yeah. I said, would it give a better atmosphere to be able to deal with your spouse, your former spouse, over the kids? Yeah. And I think I even used this verse. As much as depends on you, live at peace. And so, to this person's credit, they agreed. He told me later, years later, he told me, he said, you know, that was the best advice I ever received. Because he went ahead and gave the $20,000. Because I told him, I said, God can give you that money back in a second. You think you're out? If you do it God's way, he'll bless you back in a moment. You're never short of God's blessing. He's our supply. You think I'm giving this at all. I'm going to. No, God, you give and he gives on to you. Good measure, pressed down. You can't outgive God. Now, I'm not saying we should always just yield to everything, but I want you to understand this principle. As much as depends on you, live at peace with all men. And rather than looking at the cost of peace, look at the cost of the continued contention and say, is there some kind of middle ground that we can come to? I tell you, these are, I don't think they're new to us, but I think we've never really got serious about this. We just constantly fall to contentions and think, oh, they're just necessary. And we put it off on the other person. I wish they weren't so contentious. I would love to solve this, but on my terms. So I just pray. We're going to stop there. We'll go on and we'll cover the rest next week. We're going to talk about spiritual principles of agreement. How do you come to agreement? What's the process of coming to agreement? How do I make peace? And I really think that the latter part of this message will help you know how to practically move into this. Today, I just want to challenge you with the principle of seeing that contentions bring more cost to you and the willingness to make peace with those who you feel are opposing you. Shall we stand together this morning? Maybe just to close this service, I'd ask you this. Through the process of this message, has some kind of conflict come to your mind? Something you're involved in? Some issue? Some clash of ideas or opinions? If something came to your mind, I want us to pray about it. And I'd ask you just to sort of put it in your hands. And if it comes to your mind, just lift it to before the Lord. Whatever that means, just lift it to the Lord. Father, we lift these issues to you. Lord, we realize in this world we're going to have tribulation. We're going to be offended. We're going to come face to face with conflicts. And Lord, I ask that we would do it your way. We offer you these conflicts. And Lord, I ask that you bring peace to these situations. And Lord, I ask as we pray about this week and as we continue to read your word, we'll understand how we are to act to agree with our adversary quickly. I commit it to you, these people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Well, we're going to dismiss you. Don't miss next week. So I left you a little bit here in a cliffhanger of what to do, but we'll talk about it next week. Go have a cup of coffee. Enjoy the patio outside. There's a tent up, still out. There's some picnic tables. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed. You're dismissed. Oh, tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't be sure to back for our traditional worship night.